And I pray that you would just be filled to the full with his goodness in your life. And so I want to invite you to take your Bible with me, and we are going to turn to the book of Acts this morning. I hope you have a copy of God's Word with you. We are going to look at Acts chapter 2. If you need your table of contents, there's absolutely no shame in that at all. Turn to your table of contents, find the book of Acts. I want you to see and read with me God's Word this morning. Acts chapter 2. Is where we're going to find ourselves. Well, today is a new day. It's the first Sunday of a new year, but the first Sunday of a new year is far from the only reason why I believe today is a new day. Today is a new day because by God's grace, you have a renewed man standing before you. Today, with a heart burning for a renewed vision for who God is, who we are, and what we must now do. For me personally, the year 2020 was a year of deep personal trial and soul searching. It was a year to process losses and difficulties and disappointments, while all the while experiencing seemingly endless new challenges, as we all have experienced. It was not until God laid me flat in the bed with COVID in the middle of November that he finally slowed me down enough to start dealing with God and processing what the last few years have been in my life and how I should now respond. I was sure ready to come back and preach after 2 weeks out of the pulpit, but God made sure that I would hurt my back so I would be one more week out, because he knows that I am sometimes slow of heart and I needed another week and just that process with him. I then came back and poured my heart into two Christmas messages, then headed out to visit family. I want to thank Papa John for the wonderful messages that he has given to us as I've been out. Also, our good friend Greg Covington from Redeemer Church, thankful for his message that he brought as I have been out as well. So now here we are, and I believe with all my heart it's a new day. Yet what I have to say today, it's not about me. It's about God. It's about you. It's about us. And it's about this community that we live in the midst of. God just allowed us to collect over $13,000 to give to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. I want you to think about that. People in seats just like you, and the Holy Spirit calls them to go and to take the light of the gospel to the farthest reaching corners of the earth, to the most difficult places in the earth, in order to get the gospel to people that do not have it before it's too late. I shared with you that a few of our churches weren't even able to give that offering this year because of the struggle of the year. I'm so thankful to God for his faithfulness to all of our churches. Last Sunday, I told you God allowed our church to be completely debt-free as he used you to pay off a 20-year loan in 7 years and 8 months. And listen, that is a wonderful achievement, but it's a wonderful achievement, but it will only end up being wonderful if we now become the church God is calling us to be right now in this community. That's why today we begin a sermon series I'm entitling Ready to Reach. Ready to Reach. Are you personally ready to reach? And are we as a church ready to reach? What does that mean? Now, for you type A folks, you may be wondering, well, what about the Gospel of Mark? I promise we will finish the Gospel of Mark, Lord willing, this year. But to start out in the month of January, we are going to do this series, Ready to Reach. And we want to start out being honest this year. The honest truth is, when we gather, we say we're here to reach people and to win souls for Christ by sharing the gospel with them. Yet based on the number of people who call this church their church home, I'm afraid that there's only a select few of us of whom reaching others is actually a true priority in our lives. So we have to spend some time begging God to show us through his word why and how we must change to become individuals and a church who are ready to reach. And I believe God's going to do it through us. And I want to invite you this morning to believe that He is going to do this. I've said to you many times before that it's tempting to focus and look at the church and look at the church in America in 2021 and focus on all the issues inside the church. But I believe the honest truth is that God is calling us to shift our focus and our efforts and our resources outside of these walls in order to reach the community and be about the mission of God. And I believe if that is our heartbeat, then 99% of what we call issues inside the church are going to be dealt with, because our hearts are in the right place to get the gospel to the lost in the community. So let me take a moment just to remind you why this is the mission and why this mission is so urgent. The Bible tells us that God created every human to know and worship Him by loving God and loving others. Yet every human has rebelled against God by loving sin and self. The payment of our rebellion is death and an eternity of torment in the fires of hell. While all humanity was barreling toward eternal death and torment, God sent His Son Jesus. Jesus died a horrific death in the place of the sins of all humanity. Jesus rose 3 days later, defeating sin and death for us. But listen, all humanity is not saved just because of what Jesus did. Only those who hear what Jesus did and respond by receiving and believing in the salvation that Christ won for us in the cross and resurrection, only those will be saved from eternal damnation. Everyone who has not heard and responded in faith to this great salvation that Jesus has done is still barreling towards death and hell. God is not going to allow the world to continue in this rebellion forever. Jesus is going to come again. And I believe every news headline shows us that it is not going to be long. And Jesus is going to come again to make hell for all those who've rebelled against Him, and to bring a new heaven and a new earth to all who have believed and are saved. So what is the desperate need of the hour? It is that the rebellious, lost, and dying are reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ before it is too late. You see, we who are saved, true believers, do not deserve our salvation. If we have experienced such grace in our life to experience the salvation of Christ, how can we not now devote our lives that others might experience the same grace that we have been given before it is too late? That is why we must beg God to set a flame in us, a commitment to the mission of reaching this community, and I believe it must be now. But what is the church to do? How is it to be accomplished? Acts 2. Acts 2 is the recording of the very first public sermon to share the gospel of Christ's death and resurrection after Jesus had gone back to heaven. The apostle Peter shared the gospel in a spirit-filled sermon to thousands of people. And thousands of people that day trusted in Jesus for salvation. So now we see these new believers in Jesus, and they are the very first church. Acts 2, 42 through 47 tells us what they did after they became the very first church. You see, now more than ever, I see my role as the pastor of this church like a coach of a sports team. I seek to lead by example and to call the plays, but I cannot worship Jesus for you, and I cannot follow Jesus for you. And God has not told me to reach everyone in your sphere of influence. He's called you to do that. He's called you to be a part of it. I'm here. I want to be your coach. I want to be involved. But He's called you to this mission. So let me show you how we together must respond and go forward now. Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. and all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. I want to show you five things from this passage that we must do individually and corporately right now in order to be a church ready to reach. First, devote yourself to God's Word daily. Devote yourself to God's Word daily. You see, as soon as the people were saved and became the church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They gave themselves to, they were passionate about the apostles' teaching. The apostles' teaching became our New Testament. And our New Testament affirms the Old Testament. And so us being devoted to the apostles' teaching means we are devoted to the Word of God. But I'm not talking about being devoted to the Word of God. I'm talking about actually daily being devoted and in the Word of God. Listen, becoming a church and a person ready to reach means that we must be saturated in the Spirit of God through the Word of God. And I posted a link on our church Facebook page in December, and I continue to share it. It's on the page called Discipleship on our church website. And what I did is I provided resources to help you and your family devote yourself daily to Bible reading this year. And listen, what gets planned and put on the calendar is what gets done. So make a plan and then work the plan. Whether your plan is a chapter a day or to read through the whole Bible this year, make a plan. So my question to you, and one of your application points today, to not just be a hearer of the Word, but a doer, what's your plan? What are you reading today? What are you going to be reading tomorrow in God's Word? Is your plan written down on your calendar or on a phone app where you're going to see it every day? You must make a plan. Write it down. Print it out. Or put it on your phone where you're going to go daily. Of course, reading the Bible is great, but Robin and I this year used an app called the Dwell app, and it's an audio version of the Bible that you can listen to on your car rides and you can listen to with your family at home. Listen, just like you are going to devote yourself to your job or devote yourself to watch a whole Netflix series this year or devote yourself to weigh in every day trying to lose weight, you must devote yourself to Bible intake today. This is an action to do. Today. Now, if you need to get out your phone and search the YouVersion or the Dwell app, you can do it during the invitation today. This may be the first church invitation time where your response should be, get out your phone and download an app, all right? Daily Bible intake. Listening to me preach once a week is never going to be enough for a healthy and thriving relationship with Jesus. You must have daily Bible intake. Devote yourself to God's Word daily. Robin and I had the opportunity to do this in 2020. We followed the Bible recap plan. That's what our shirts are today. It's a plan where we followed the reading list. We would read God's Word every day, and then we would listen to a podcast that recapped what we read, helped provide clarification to what we read. And we're just celebrating that, and we're launching into a new time and a new devotion to be in God's Word every day this year. And I'm here as your coach, and I'm called to be an example. So if you have questions or if you need direction on how to get in God's Word every day, let me know. I'd love to talk to you. Robin would love to talk to you. We'd love to help. That's what we're here for. Devote yourself to Bible intake daily. Number two, devote yourself to the fellowship. Devote yourself to the fellowship. Walking with Jesus and being on mission with Jesus is not a spectator sport and it's not an individual sport. It's a team sport. All in and all active. You need other believers in your life. You need to be the member of a local church, and you need to be devoted to it. And here's where we are right now as a church and where we're going. We're meeting for worship on Sunday mornings at 10:45, obviously. And I want you to come weekly. I want you to be devoted to attending. Listen, I know some people are afraid to come because people won't wear masks. But I would say Paul said that he would become all things to all people in order to save some. So if me wearing a mask helps other people to come, you better believe I'm wearing it. That's not politics, that's gospel mission. And listen, I'm really thankful that we have the Facebook Live as well in order to reach new people with our online services. I'm thankful that we have it for our people that we miss right now and cannot come because of health reasons, and we understand that. But I want to challenge you, don't let yourself believe that you're devoted to the fellowship just because you're signing on to a service online. Even if you do watch on Facebook Live, and that's great, I want to encourage you to engage with other believers in the church with phone calls and text messages. Post our content on your page so that it can reach others. Check in regularly with me and others to let us know that you're still a part of what God's doing here. You know, when we don't see you, we wonder how you're doing and where you are with Christ. So I want to encourage you, stay connected. And listen, it's possible, yes, it's possible that sometime this year we might have to cancel an in-person service again like we did last year. But I want to encourage you that even if that happens, I want to encourage you to stay engaged. Men, gather your families and worship at home. Do something kind to a neighbor and share Christ with them. Be the church. Have a church member to your home. Have a lost neighbor to your home. You be the one to pull up Facebook and to gather the family and actively engage in our worship services. Read the Bible with your family and pray together. Call other church members to encourage one another. Check in with me and let me know you're engaged. Put Sunday service on the calendar and don't let other things get in the way. Listen, COVID could cancel another morning gathering. But only the people of the church can choose to cancel church if they choose not to engage and not to lead their families to worship God and to love others. Keeping the church actively being the church is up to you, not COVID. And I'm here to encourage you and resource you like a good coach. So reach out. Men, be ready to take the lead and to do a worship service in your home if we can't be here one Sunday. Continue to engage and devote yourself to the fellowship. Number three, devote yourself to prayer. Devote yourself to prayer. The first church was devoted, we see, to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking bread, and to prayer. And when you take time, daily time to take in God's word, take another moment to respond to what you read in prayer. Talk with God. Speak praise to God. Confess sin to God. Thank God. Ask God to move in situations in your life. Ask God to use you for His glory to reach someone for Christ. Ask God to strengthen us as a church to reach our community for Christ. We must devote ourselves anew as a church to prayer. So I've already asked you to commit to the Sunday morning worship service. And now I'm going to challenge you to commit to one more thing. Wednesday night at 6:30, right now we're on Facebook Live. My prayer is that by February we can be back in the building for the Wednesday night prayer meeting, and we're going to look at that and work on that. But we're on Facebook Live this Wednesday night. And I want you to remove any thoughts that conjure up in your mind when you hear the words prayer meeting. It's not going to look how it's always looked. I want to lead us to do some things and to engage in prayer in a way that I believe God shows us in His Word, to do corporate prayer. So I don't want you to miss it. So two things you hear from your pastor in the new year, put them on the calendar. Sunday morning at 10:45, Wednesday night at 6:30. We want to gather and worship, sit under the preaching of God's Word, and we want to pray. And ask God and beg God to move in our community. So devote yourself to daily prayer and to weekly corporate prayer through our Wednesday night gathering. Listen, God does His greatest work when His people become passionate about prayer. So devote yourself to prayer. Number four, devote yourself to expectant worship. Devote yourself to expectant worship. Expectant worship means that when we gather to worship and when we scatter in our community to worship, we expect God to be present and we expect God to move among us. Listen to the worshipful words that characterize the first church in Acts. Awe came upon every soul. Wonders, signs, gladness, generosity, and praising. These are words of life and energy and hope and expectation. Yet many times as we've gathered here in the past, I can't speak for anyone else, but I know for me, I've had to, before I've gotten up here, sometimes close my eyes and try to conjure up faith and hope that God is among us and that He is going to move and work. Because to be completely honest, the atmosphere in our room so many times is dead and it's stale and it's lifeless. And I feel as though I don't come to for us to all join in worship, but instead I feel as though I stand here hoping to awake you from a sleeping stupor. Hebrews 11:6, and without faith it is impossible to please God. For whoever would not draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. I want you to imagine this. Imagine during this Ready to Reach series, you were to invite a lost person who's never been in our service, and they come to our service. My question always is, will they leave with the experience saying, man, those people really believe that God exists and that He rewards those who passionately seek Him? Just look at how they worship. You know, during my seminary days, Robin and I were active members of a church where some weeks by the end of the service, God's presence seemed so thick in the room that we were all uncomfortable. What I mean is that we had sung every word with such conviction that we really believed it. And the message was preached with such biblical conviction and clarity that we all reevaluated our relationship with God. But we were really uncomfortable for the lost people in the room whom we had invited and who came with us, because we knew that they had been brought face to face with the glorious gospel of the living God of the universe, and we knew that they were going to strongly respond in one of two ways. Either they were going to be offended and say that we were all crazy, which yes, some of them did, or they were going to hunger to know God like we did. God's presence was just so heavy among us. Because God, for whatever reason, by His grace, had taught us to come expectant and prayerful and worship God. And you may be thinking, well, that doesn't sound very Baptist to me. And listen, I'm not up here trying to teach you how to be Baptist. I want us to be biblical and moved by the Holy Spirit of God. Of course, we're going to do everything with decency and in order, but that does not mean we must be lifeless. King David in the book of 2 Samuel displayed such an expectant worship of God that he danced before the Lord. And it was offensive to his wife, who thought it was undignified of a king to act in such ways. David replied, well, this is for God. This is for who He is, and I'm worshiping Him. And He'll continue, and I'm going to continue to celebrate the Lord in this way, no matter the contempt of others. He was ready and willing to be undignified in order to express himself in worship to God. Listen, one of the many reasons I keep my shirt untucked in worship is because I can't get my hands up in the air with tucked shirt and suit and tie. And I know God's going to lead me at some point during the service to put my hands in the air. So that's why I do it. I know I need the physical freedom to do what God may lead me to do during a service. And listen, I know some of us hear these sort of things and we think, well, I've never done it that way before. Listen, this statement that I'm about to make, it's not directly biblical, but it is true nonetheless. If you keep doing what you've always done, you're going to keep getting what you've always gotten. And the last verse of our passage today says, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So until we come up with that result, we're going to have to continue to be willing to do things we've never done. So let's devote ourselves to expectant worship. Number five, finally, devote yourself to being open-hearted and open-handed with others. You cannot become more like Jesus than when you are open-hearted and open-handed with others. This is the final one, and certainly one that our church and so many Baptist churches in South Louisiana desperately need a course correction. Back to our passage, the first church held all things in common, and they sold their own possessions and belongings in order to meet the needs of others. You see, the first church, they were known for being optimistic and glad-hearted and grateful and generous and open-hearted and open-handed people, which was like a magnet to the community around them. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. But here's the truth. We as a whole are not right now known for this kind of spirit in our community. And even many who attend our church service on Sunday morning don't feel that way about us. Some of you have this kind of spirit, but I'm talking about as a whole. I've come to find that in the 3 years here, most Baptist churches in South Louisiana are not known for having a godly, open-hearted, and open-handed spirit. And I'm not talking about money. Some have shared with me that they may attend a morning service, but they will never get involved with our church because they can't be around the mess, the pessimism, the gossip, the backbiting, the judgments, and the social cliques. To many who have attended our services, they will tell me that they have the same few people acknowledge and speak to them, but the majority they feel do not want them here. You know, COVID became an excuse for many of those to disappear and not come back because of what they have experienced in the church. This isn't new for us. This isn't just us. You ask anyone around the country, one of the greatest answers you get for why someone's not involved in church is because of past church hurt. And you can be angry with me for being honest, but I have devoted myself anew to being bound to the Word of God. And the Apostle Paul was always willing to address the problems in the church and call for repentance for the good of the people, the glory of God, and the spread of the gospel. So we must, as a whole and as individuals, repent of our selfishness and sin and commit ourselves to being open-handed and open-hearted towards others. I'm talking about a spirit of kindness and forgiveness and acceptance. I'm talking about a willingness to see beyond yourself and your family in order to consider how to be a blessing to others. I'm talking about not just looking for the people on Sunday morning that you have always talked to, but to look for the visitor or the family that you've never met and welcome and get to know them. I'm talking about treating a new member with all the same rights and privileges as someone who's been here for 40 years. I'm talking about inviting that newer family out to lunch with you after the service. I'm talking about no longer holding on to the past as some wonderful time that we must get back to, but instead to embrace what God wants to do among us in year 2021 and in this context and in this day. I'm talking about begging God to drive out any bitterness or hurt that you carry from sins of another church member from the past so that we can move forward in unity. I'm talking about no longer being willing to speak a negative or judgmental word about another person in the church or in the community. I'm talking about not bringing the negative politics of the nation inside the church, but instead taking the positive message of the kingdom of God outside the church. I'm talking about being the kind of person that when someone says, "Did you hear about so-and-so?" or "Let me tell you about so-and-so," you will respond, "You know, I don't need to hear that. I'm on mission with Jesus, and that is not going to further my cause." I'm talking about keeping your opinions on every little issue to yourself, and instead talking about the goodness and grace of God. I'm talking about becoming a people and a place that we cannot wait to invite our friends and coworkers into because of the supernatural love and unity we display towards one another. I'm talking about hoping that God moves among us so mightily that the people that we have reached and invited come and take all of our seats and we have to joyfully stand in the back. I'm talking about young people and young families who are right now the most attacked by Satan to hate God and to hate his church. And listen, we got to be willing to do music and schedule and outreach and everything with them in mind. I'm talking about having an open-heartedness and an open-handedness that when you drive by that person who's cutting their grass on Sunday morning, instead of going to church like you, you don't think yourself better of them. You schedule to stop by, to invite them to church, to share how Christ can save them. Guys, it's a new day, church. Christ has come to save us from sin and self. The world is barreling towards hell. Jesus' return is imminent. And we must now become a church ready to reach before it's too late. Would you bow your heads with me?